confidence in insecurity. I am a voice yet waiting to be heard. I'll shoot the shot, bang, that you hear around the world. Happy Friday night, everybody. You're listening to WGN Radio, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And as many of you know, if you listen on Friday nights, we have our Freak Out Friday panel. We try to hold back from talking about, chasing really the biggest news stories of the day that might include perhaps the president's tweets or new findings in some investigation. And we also try to tackle some of the issues at the city and state level, and we're going to do that tonight with Dave Lundy, Mike Lieber, and do you prefer Mike or Michael? Mike. Oh, Hans, I'll give you a microphone.
Mike is good.
Hey, Mike. And Eric, yes, Elk.
Use the mic.
Interesting evening, actually. I'm looking forward to talking to columnist Rex Hupke from the Chicago Tribune. He finished up his food drive, the Hate a Columnist campaign that he had. If you hate Rex, he wanted you to put your charity where your hate is. And let's see how that turned out as he was raising some money and food for a good cause. Dave Lundy is the president of Aileron Communications, and you know him also from the better... Well, I always used to say the better half, but I think that continues of Touche.
Oh, now it's the way better half.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, we don't have to go into any details. I say it tongue-in-cheek.
Who's the other half?
I don't know. I forgot.
Some guy. The old same half?
Yeah, some guy.
Eric Elk is the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. He's also former chief of staff for Senator Mark Kirk. We have Mike Lieber in studio. And interesting, he's an attorney who also happens to not just be an attorney, not just any attorney, but he is representing a client who is in the news. And we can talk about with Rex Hupke, the guy who's being banned from going out on the field in his Packers gear. Is he already being banned?
He is for this weekend. We filed a TRO seeking some kind of emergency extraordinary relief. The federal judge said, close call, but no, we'll go through the case. And at the end of the case, we'll see.
So wrong. So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. I know Rex is on hold. We'll talk to him just after the news. And I know Dave and I were on the phone. He asked me how the mayoral forum went. I was the moderator for the Chicago mayoral candidates forum. Yes,
you did a very nice job.
You watched it.
I was watching it on Facebook Live, and I thought you handled it very well.
Were you surprised a little bit? I was nervous for myself.
I was.
You were surprised she did well?
Oh, no, not that you did well. I was surprised at the...
the forum, how well it went?
Yeah, you know, I like it when it's... when candidates start taking shots.
And, it was quick, too. Yeah. Gary Chico is like, so they had 90 seconds to introduce themselves to the audience. We were at the Copernicus Center. It was put together by the 38th Ward Democrats it was a Northwest Side Mayoral Candidates Forum. And so 90 seconds to introduce themselves. They talked about their records, their past, what they planned for the city. But Gary Chico went out of the gate and after Tony Preckwinkle and the soda tax.
And how many candidates were actually at the forum? Because I think there are something like 21 people running.
There were 10 candidates. So,
and did that get unwieldy?
So there was a moment where I think even the organizers were concerned. I don't know, Eric, how I did it when they started to all talk over each other and at each other. And when I was like, okay, I don't know what I said, but it seemed to work. And yeah, it happened. I kept them all. I mean, and there were, believe me, the searing glare of former police superintendent Gary McCarthy. Still, I wake up going, oh, I didn't do it. Tony Preckwinkle was all business and was a little bit frustrated because I had to adjust what the plans were for the rules, especially because I realized we had more time than I thought we were going to. So I was able to allow more rebuttals as we went on. And when I knew that somebody needed to get in on a topic, I would say, okay, you and then this person next. And I started designating and managing it that way.
So what was your biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise was that I could do it. No, my biggest surprise was that I think everybody really had a moment where they showed the audience who they are, and the audience responded positively. I think that almost every candidate had a moment where the audience went, yeah.
It was a pretty packed crowd.
Yeah, it was.
That was just the candidates.
Mm-hmm. The tables. Yeah, I was surprised at how good the microphones worked. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. Right.
What was the criteria for letting 10 of the 21 participate?
They were all invited. All the ones that, even though, because right now, obviously, the petitions are still being challenged. So, you know, there are some people who may or may not end up on the ballot. We couldn't really make that. They couldn't make that a distinction. Everyone was invited, and the first ones that responded were invited, were allowed on stage. So we're going to keep it to 10 regardless. Bill Daley was on vacation, and one other candidate was supposed to be there and dropped out. Jamal Green joined us at the last minute, and he, I thought, was every single person, I thought, really brought something unique. Interesting, you know, whether or not it was what the audience wanted or what Chicagoans wanted, it was good.
Were there people other than Gary Chico who were really kind of coming out of the gate throwing bombs?
I think there were a couple moments where they tried. I think that Gary McCarthy went after somebody. Somebody went after Gary McCarthy. Some of my questions would go after individual candidates, whether it was Susana Mendoza on her record in the General Assembly on criminal justice reform and the death penalty, or obviously Tony Preckwinkle and being part of the machine, Gary McCarthy during the Laquan McDonald ordeal. Well, a lot of different things like that also were inherent or built into the questions. But I gave, you know, and then it was also a moment of like, you know, here's somebody who doesn't have as much experience and let's see what they have. So,
any moments of levity?
Oh yeah, there were definitely. I think there were some pretty good moments of levity, Eric. Didn't you think?
I did.
I got yelled at the end. The last question was, if you had one last meal in Chicago, let's say you were moving, where would it be, and who, you know, what would you order? And someone yelled at me, "Let's talk about something important, like murders." And I said, "Okay. We've been here for an hour and 45 minutes. We've talked about a lot of issues, including the murder rate in Chicago. The campaigning will continue." And
I would argue that, depending on their answer, tells a lot about somebody.
Absolutely. And besides, you could have combined those two things.
Yeah,
where would you like? What's your favorite restaurant to get murdered at?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, come on.
Oh, boy.
No, we're not going there. So what we're
the Purple Hyatt.
Maybe we can get into it in a minute, but. What were some of the good answers to that? What were some of the restaurants that people named?
Oh, I mean, like Capri's Pizza, Gina Giorgetti's, Greek Islands, just to name a few. There were some really good ones. Yeah. Huh? Let's take a break here. We've got to check in with Rex Hupke and see how his Hate a Columnist campaign went with the Chicago Food Depository. More in a moment. You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. More after this. Earlier this week, we checked in with Chicago Tribune columnist Rex Hupke because I absolutely loved the food drive that he was doing in the name of love and also maybe a little bit of hate. Hey, Rex, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Patty. How's it going?
Doing really well. Everyone, by the way, you're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Rex, just to let you know who's in studio, we have Dave Lundy and Mike Lieber and Eric Elk. They're part of my Freak Out Friday panel because I can't cover the big headlines every single day, and we do it on Fridays, and sometimes we freak out. But some of you,
yeah, I can understand that,
right? And some of the people some of the people who read your column freak out because they hate what you write. Is that
true? Yes, that is accurate. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the campaign, and then how this has turned out today, because it culminated in today's results. So tell us about it.
It's a very exciting thing. I'm delighted. But about 2 weeks ago, I started this thing called the Insult a Columnist Holiday Food Drive, which was intended as a way for people who don't like my columns to sort of quantify their dislike of me by donating money to the Greater Chicago Food Depository. And of course, then I also allowed people who do, for whatever mysterious reason, like my columns, you know, they could also donate. And there were two teams, Rex Stinks and Rex Rocks. And, you know, I just sort of left it to the market, let the market decide whether I am good or bad.
So do you stink or rock? Do you stink or rock? I got to know.
It turns out I rock.
Yay!
I was not expecting that, if I'm being totally honest. But look, the numbers don't lie. What can I say? No, but it's awesome because, I mean, really, this was I thought this was kind of a fun way to take some of the, you know, negativity and divisiveness and just sort of direct it all at least in one good direction, because the Greater Chicago Food Depository does great work. They serve hundreds of thousands of people in Cook County through food. You know, they supply food pantries all over the place and do all kinds of other good stuff. And so I thought, okay, here's a, you know, hopefully something will come of this. And honestly, I thought about it when I started, and I'm like, well, you know, maybe we'll raise a couple thousand or something, you know, and it'll be good for everybody. So the sort of drive ended, I guess, officially today, but we're at $46,982.
Wow. Wow.
Which I did.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, honestly, like, it's so, you know, I don't want to sound too schmaltzy about it, but it really is, it gives, restores a little faith in humanity. Let's put it that way. I mean, you know, people are, despite, you know, the kind of negative times and divisive times that we're living in and stuff, you sometimes can forget how kind and generous and good most people are. And whether they're voting, you know, in favor of me or against me doesn't matter. I mean, the bottom line is they're doing something good, and they're trying to help other people out. And so this just, it blew me away. I mean, I thought it was just kind of a dippy idea, and maybe it would do a little good, but I had no idea that this was going to happen. And that's all to the credit of just all the amazing people that, you know, went ahead and did it, and the people that shared it on social media, and you having me on to talk about it. And, you know, it just, all of that is what kind of propelled it, I think. So,
great,
you know,
work.
Yay, it's a great. Yeah. Well, hey, no, it was easy. I mean, I didn't, you know, I was
a great idea, though.
Like I said, I mean, yeah, well, thanks. I appreciate it.
It has to start somewhere. And you know, making that first gesture, I think, is so important. I was telling the guys in the studio, I didn't tell Mike Lieber about your piece today, but he represents the Packers fan who would like to be able to go out on the field. How crazy is it I actually have him in studio? So Rex, Rex.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Rex loved the column today. Great column.
And I heard from Mr. Beckman, a very nice fellow who I... you know, really am rooting for.
he's an extremely nice guy.
Well, and here, Mike, tell people a little bit before you talk about how nice he is. What? Why are we talking about him at all?
Sure.
He's a Packers fan.
Sure. So this is a lifelong Packers fan who lived for a long time in Kenosha, just north of the border of Illinois. And he's had season tickets at Lambeau Field in Green Bay for many, many years. But also when they redid Soldier Field in the early 2000s, because the Packers play here in Chicago once a year against the Bears, he got season tickets. And he also got a personal seat license for those season tickets. And based on both of those, people who have season tickets like him, every year they kind of get to choose one event that they attend, one game. And he chose for several years going onto the field before the Green Bay Packers Chicago Bears game here in Soldier Field to kind of watch the pregame warmups about an hour before the show or an hour before the game. And he wore his full Green Bay garb, beard dyed green, beads, obviously Green Bay Packers jersey and so forth. And they let him do it for a few years or a couple of years. And then they changed the rules in 2016. They said no opposing team apparel. So they wouldn't let him go on. And, you know, he didn't make a big stink about it. But the more he thought about it, you have to remember that the Chicago Park District, a governmental entity, owns and operates Soldier Field. And our argument, and I just recently got involved in the case along with the Duke University Law School First Amendment Clinic, which is working pro bono for Russell. and they're great folks, and they know their stuff. And our argument is basically that the Bears are so entwined, inextricably entwined with this governmental agency, the Chicago Park District, that they themselves become a state actor, as it is, as it is. So they then have to uphold patrons' First Amendment rights. So they can't tell him, hey, you can't go on the field before the game for this thing wearing a particular shirt.
Wow.
Yep. So interesting stuff. And he is a great guy. And, you know, the Bears fans who sit nearby him in the stadium, who've sat nearby him, you know, for years and years and years, they all love him and they're all actually rooting for him.
Right. And Rex, you heard from him today?
Yeah, he emailed me. I wrote the column kind of quickly. I didn't have a lot of time, so I didn't actually talk to him directly. I cited one of the pieces that one of my colleagues had written about the lawsuit because he was trying to get an injunction before the game this weekend so he could go in his jersey, but the judge said no. So yeah, but then after the piece went up, though, he sent me an email later in the day. And, you know, nice, really nice. Said he'd take me on a tour of the paper mill if I'm ever up in Green Bay and, you know, that kind of thing. So he's a nice guy. And actually, he said something funny. He said that I had, like, created a well, let's see what he said. The lofty praise. He'll always feel the need to live up to the impossible. Thank you for ruining my life. with a smiley face emoji. Smiley face emoji after that. But
that's great.
But no, I mean, I love it. I think, and you know, I mean, what I said in the column was, come on. I mean, let the guy in. I mean, good Lord, this is what sports are all about. I mean, you see that all the time in stadiums. You know, you'll have fans from the other team, and you give each other a hard time, but it's not, you know. I mean, it just seems so ridiculous that the Bears are doing this, and I thought, you know, this guy is, I give him credit for filing a federal lawsuit over
it. Right, no kidding, Eric.
I mean, what the heck? This reminds me, as a fan, a Chicago fan, Bears fan, and a Blackhawks fan, we all remember what happened a few years back when the Hawks were in the playoffs.
Right.
Playing Nashville, and Nashville basically said, you can't wear a Hawks jersey. Or they made it tough to get the
trade. Right.
Hold on. I gotta go to a break. We have a new producer. I don't want him to get in any trouble for not staying on top of me. Let's take a quick break. And if you guys want to talk about this after the news, we'll do that in just a moment on 720 WGN. Friday night, everybody. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase Studio. In a little bit, I also want to make sure we talk to Ariel, who's our new producer here at WGN. There's going to be a lot of people kind of rotating through. We're all a little bit of chair shuffling, and I'm excited to work with you tonight, Ariel. And I know it's only your second show, and we're thrilled to have you.
Thank you very much.
Of course. And we're going to learn more. We also want to learn more from our guests. We have in studio, by the way, Eric Elk, Mike Lieber, and Dave Lundy, part of our Freak Out Friday panel. And on the phone, we have Tribune columnist Rex Hubke. And we were talking about this Bears fan that has been this Bears season ticket holder. And when you accumulate enough points, you are allowed to go out on the field. And he happens to be a Packers fan, has accumulated enough points, but he has been banned from going out on the field. And Rex wrote a great piece about it today in the Chicago Tribune. And Mike Lieber happens to be the attorney working
Russell Beckman.
Russell Beckman.
Yeah, good guy.
Good guy.
Is it okay if I say that I still hope the Bears beat the crap out of the Packers on Sunday?
That's fine with me. I'm a Colts fan.
Yeah. And clearly Rex is delighted by it.
I am a Colts fan. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Nice.
Wait. You're a Colts fan and you're writing about the Bears?
Yeah, I'm not a native Chicagoan. So I'm not a native Indianan either, for that matter, I guess, but that's a long story.
So is it like a random team generator? And
I was assigned it at birth. It's a weird thing that happens. I grew up in Florida. The Buccaneers were terrible back then, so you had to find another team.
Oh, come on.
And did you find them when they were already in Indy or still back in Baltimore?
Okay. Yeah, I lived in Indiana for a while, and it just was sort of coincidence. I had always been sort of unattached to any particular team. I was a neutral observer for many years.
I don't understand how you didn't fall in love with Vinny Testaverde. I mean, come on, man.
Yes, who couldn't?
Well, to Dave's point, I do think the Packers are going to get slaughtered.
Get walloped.
Yeah.
I have to say, I did a show last week in Racine, Wisconsin, and the week before that I was in Port Washington. And in my career as a stand-up comic, I never tell the audience, I never let it be part of my introduction that I'm from Chicago, because there's no quicker way to get a boo from a crowd than to be in Wisconsin and be introduced as being from Chicago. And I said it, but this time I said it out of the gate, and they kind of booed. And I go, come on, I get to like them this year, right? And they were great about it. I mean, it is a fun rivalry. I think this would celebrate.
Yes. Well, the fact is Aaron Rodgers is 17-3 against the Bears. So it's about time he becomes 17-4.
Yes.
There you go.
But as Rex pointed out in his great column today, this is what we want in sports. We want these diehard fans who love these rivalries like this. It's like, you know, nobody hates the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Cleveland Browns, basically, because they've been so bad for so long. You want these two good teams and diehard fans.
Well, they're original teams as well. And the thing, you know, as we were talking earlier, the Bears kind of get the last laugh in this. The guy's a diehard Packer fan, and they're collecting his money for season tickets.
I love that.
I mean, yeah. What the heck is wrong here?
Seems like a win-win across the board. Well, and, you know, I could understand if there was an issue, like he was, Mr. Beckman was accused of, you know, taunting or, you know, not being nice when he's out there in his pack. But there's nobody saying anything like that. He just it's just the fact that he's wearing, you know, the paraphernalia. And I just think, well, Ian, come on. And my suggestion in the column was to, okay, well, why don't we get the Green Bay Packers to have them, you know, let a Bears fan come onto the field dressed as a bear up in Green Bay, and you know, we'll sort of trade off or something like that.
Yeah, but,
you got it's all in good fun.
Lost me. You got to be careful doing that in Green Bay, or you're likely to get shot. The bear's going to get shot.
It makes
sure hunting season.
Right, he's got to wear an orange orange vest.
Yeah, right, one of the orange vests.
Oh, man. Well, I want to thank you, Rex Huebke, for joining us tonight. And I encourage everyone to follow him on Twitter and read his work in the Chicago Tribune. You can find him on Twitter at Rex Huebke. That's two P's, right? That's the best way to do it. How do you tell people to spell your name, aside from spelling it out?
Did I just spell it out? It's impossible. Otherwise, they think it's Ron Hubcap or something like that. So, I just hand him a card with it on it or something like that.
REXHUPPKE. Find him on Twitter. And congratulations on the great food drive, by the way. Where can people still donate?
Thanks for your help. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, that was my pleasure. But where can people still donate? Because it is the holiday season and people should have their hearts and their wallets open.
Yeah, sure. It's gonna stay. It's sort of like officially over today, but it's gonna stay open so people can keep donating all they want, which would be awesome. It's myfooddrive.org, and then / hashtag Rex REX. And that'll get you there. You can also find it if you just go to the Greater Chicago Food Depository website and look under Find a Food Drive. It'll pop up there too. But yeah, it's exciting, and I'm just my heart is warmed, which is a great feeling.
I have to agree. Well, we want to check in with you again soon. Let me know if there's anything you want. But well, let's keep in touch and have you on more often. And when you feel like hanging out a little bit late, come on and join us in studio.
I'll do that, definitely. And thank all of you. Appreciate it very much.
Of course. Have a great weekend, Rex.
All right, you guys too. Take care.
Thank you. And also, I read in the Tribune today, I love when because I have a Tribune app on my phone, and I got this alert that in the summer, apparently Governor Rauner, who was in the midst of his election, realized that he might not win by at all, and also lose by a rather substantial margin to who he actually did lose. He did indeed do that, but he wanted to pull out of the race. I didn't. Did anyone know about? Did you know about this, Dave?
I had no idea. I had no idea this was going on. Look, I said all year long that it felt to me like Bruce Rauner was phoning it in, mm-hmm. that he had given up, that he was already moving to Italy in his mind, and he was just going through this. But if you were going through the motions, and if you knew you were going to lose, did you have to be such a jerk? I mean, he was so nasty in so many ways at so many times. And I don't mean just garden variety nasty. You don't call your opponent a crook who's going to wind up in jail if you think you're going to lose, because that guy's going to wind up being the governor. I mean, there's
sounds like desperation to me.
It's certain levels of civility.
You smell it? Yeah.
I mean, it was just really gross.
Yeah.
And so I read that, the fact he asked four different people to substitute for him. I was like, what a jerk. I just, oh, God, that guy.
Tell me how you really feel, Dave.
I don't like him.
Okay. Mike, what'd you want to say?
I was just going to say, you know, there were some pretty tough shots all around. You know, J.B. Pritzker went after Rounder pretty tough, too.
But he didn't call him a crook.
But also he had the over 3.5 years of, or 4 years of what he's done as the governor as the record he could discuss. And we had a lot. I mean, we racked up, over $12 billion in extra debt because of the budget impasse. So, I mean, that...
He went after his record. That's a little different than going saying he's going to be in jail.
This is a little bit different. Eric, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that it was a complete lack of... he didn't respect the process, and by not respecting the process, he didn't respect the individuals that he needed to work with in the legislature, didn't respect, the leaders, either party. I mean, you know, and I think that he tried to, you know, and this is where some folks thought that they needed to work with him. They were trying to give him benefit of the doubt. And every time I think he failed them, both folks in the Democrat Party who tried to work in good faith and folks who were trying to carry water for him in the legislature and the Republican Party. And I think because he didn't respect the process, both in the legislature, clearly it showed he didn't respect or understand the process on the political side. When he's having conversations with folks this past August, clearly he had no understanding or care how this whole thing works. I mean, he had already almost lost the primary and was still trying to get out. It's not that easy to just go and get off the ballot and slate somebody
else. Yeah, what does it say for your party that you're just going to bail in the towards the end of campaigning?
Well, and Jeannie Ives, who he barely beat in the primary,
right.
Threw out some rather nasty invective at him, and it was all deserved.
Oh, well,
today. In
oh,
other
today
words,
she did.
Oh,
let's. I want to find out more about that. Let's take a break here, and I want to find out what Jeannie Ives had to say because she does not hold back.
Mm-mm.
You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Join us anytime. 312-981-7200.
Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please.
Uh-oh, we have a weird moment in studio. You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and Dave Lundy has been having this tune in his head all day long, and
all
seems
day.
As though producer Ariel has read your mind.
Yeah, dude, you're brand new, and you're already into the brain. It's very impressive.
Well done, Ariel.
And deeply disturbing. I
Actually, Ariel and I were talking before the show, and he and I seem to have a similar... I don't know how we would describe it, but do you get teased for not knowing a lot of music, Ariel?
Absolutely.
Let me see if I can...
I don't have taste in music, and any music I like, people yell at me for not having any sense or idea of culture.
It is the yelling thing that's weird, isn't it? When people yell at, come a little bit closer to your microphone too. I just want to make sure we can hear you. It is weird when people get upset that we don't know everything that they know.
Right, they get disappointed. I don't know why. It's people go to see concerts, and I ask, "Who is that?" And they say, "What? You never heard of this person?"
Right. Yeah, no, I was telling Ariel that we have a segment called Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge, and people will text us saying, this isn't happening, is it? It is surprising. So if you will do me a favor, you said there's a type of music that you enjoy that we talked about a little bit. I'm going to need a few clips of that throughout the rest of the last hour. I want to know about the music that you enjoy.
Okay.
Please?
I don't know.
Why are you nervous?
I'm nervous. What if people just turn off the radio?
Click.
That's our job.
Wow. Roger just gave a hang up. They're hanging up on this show. That's a different sound effect.
Yeah, even though that's one of the songs that my radio and TV teacher in high school used to play during class.
So click?
You're all, not click.
I don't know. I thought maybe it was a song.
Half the kids in the class probably click. But
What song?
Yeah. Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, there's a style of music
old,
that
remember?
Ariel said he likes that I'm not familiar with that I would like to hear some of, and maybe there are listeners who will bring a little bit different.
Well, there are lots of styles of music that you're not familiar with.
That's very correct.
So,
that's
I mean,
I know
it's
correct.
Really great. I love being around you on this
are
segment
you
because
with sandals because your feet look like you've been kicking rocks.
What? No, I love this segment because your lack of musical knowledge makes me feel superior because I have a lack of musical knowledge.
Is it kind of like when I watch Hoarders and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not that bad.
Exactly.
Hey, Ariel, everything, try any kind of musical genre there is except air guitar. Other than that, we're fine.
Stop. Yeah, there was a night when Roger was very excited because I didn't know Baby Shark. And Declan turns out to love Baby Shark. We started playing that for him, too. What were you going to say, Eric? What?
I heard about this Baby Shark thing. The kids know.
I heard it from my kids.
The kids, Roger and Elliot are the people who know. No, there's a lot of people.
Max.
Yeah.
There was the new version for the holidays. There was Santa Shark.
I think you sent me a link, didn't you?
I think I did, yes.
I will play that for Declan on his tablet.
At least we're far enough in the rearview mirror from the whole, what does the fox say?
Oh, thing. God.
Yeah. See, now that's in my head.
Thanks a lot. You're welcome.
Thanks. Ariel, whenever you have one ready, just let us know, okay?
Can we get a TRO against Libra on that?
No, you cannot.
I have one ready.
Here you go. Is it in the...
That's awesome.
No. I don't know if I have it. See, they want...
Tequila, Hawaii.
Nagila Hava. Yeah.
Here we go.
Roger and I are like, Nagila.
I don't know who's singing. That's a weird voice.
It sounds like the Chipmunks doing Hava Nagila.
What
Alvin!
What artist is this, Ariel?
This is the Barry Sisters.
The Barry Sisters.
Oh, the Barry Sisters.
Yeah, they're almost like twins, but they're not twins.
Right. Yeah, no, my late mother-in-law loved the Barry Sisters. So was totally into the Barry Sisters.
Your late mother-in-law and myself would have gotten along well.
There you go.
See, continue with your clips. Let us know when you have one you want to share with us. So he was telling me he enjoys Jewish folk music.
Right.
So
nothing wrong with that.
See, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, Ariel.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we got Jews in the studio.
See, there's a much less laughter at the music that you like as opposed to the music that I don't know. Just want you to know that's what we're working with right now.
Eric Elk is looking as funny, but that's okay. I'm into the Jew thing.
Are you flying?
Wow. Says the Jew.
Says exactly. Being a member of the tribe myself. Oi.
Oh boy, here we go.
You shouldn't know from.
I didn't want to tell you this. I was not feeling well last week. I had to be off the air, and I actually ordered latkes to be delivered last Friday.
Yes, you did. They were delicious, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, bummer.
Nice. Yeah. My wife made some last week. They were delicious.
I love latkes.
I was asked to, and I declined.
It's better to order out.
Yeah. They're just too fattening.
Mm.
What? They're too fattening. Because you can't eat just one or two. You wind up eating like 10 latkes.
Should we explain to the listeners who might not know what a latke is?
I am a latke.
Oh.
It's a fried potato pancake.
You're a potato pancake?
Yeah, I am.
All right, then.
A lot of people would call them hash browns.
Oh.
But
except with onion.
Onion, some other spices.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are delicious.
Did you get a chance to go to the bagel one more time at the Old Orchard?
We did go to the bagel one more time, and it was very sad because I've wanted to go to the bagel at least twice since they closed.
I went, and I got what I always get single time, a chicken liver omelet.
Oh.
Which has gigantic pieces of chicken liver because I think they probably otherwise can't give them away.
So Libra comes in to keep them fresh.
Who knows how long they've been sitting there, but just delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I there's another bagel, though. Do you think
there is.
Yes.
Yeah, but you guys schlep down into Lakeview.
Yeah, but for a chicken liver omelet, I'm willing to schlep.
Okay, well, maybe our families will go do it together.
Eric, I think we're going for chicken liver omelets.
I'll give it a try. I'm kind of, I don't want to laugh at the chicken liver omelets, just like I didn't want to laugh at the music, but... I would try it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, have you ever had like just regular liver? Like when you were a kid?
And onions.
Yeah, yeah. Like liver and onions. Like did your parents ever make liver
and onions? My dad loved liver and onions with mayonnaise on rye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Ariel, this sounds like something that is something
mayo?
I mean, I like French fries with mayo.
You seem to be okay with the...
I'm loving this entire conversation. This is my night.
Do you have another song for us before we go to a break?
I do.
All right. Let's do it.
Look.
It's from Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
You can't look at me angrily, like mockingly.
Which dance? Oh, this is the guys with the wine bottles on their head. This is the dance. Oi! Yeah.
It's the wedding dance.
Yeah.
There's no shame in this game, Ariel.
I can't tell if you're being nice to me or if this is really...
This is for real. I love all...
Oh, no, this is Patty for real.
I love all music. I love all music. And it's, the thing is, because I don't know so much, it's like I'll take... I love everything.
Actually, my son David, when he was in the theater department at Lincoln Park High School...
Right.
He was one of the dancers with the bottle on his head.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
How did they keep it on his head?
Well, you're supposed to. It's part of the dance.
Like can you get like a headband with a bottle on it? I got to get a break.
Well, I don't know.
More after that. Oh, I think I know this one. Wait. don't laugh at me because I'm not.
Wait, are you serious?
Because part of my brain goes, don't say ABBA. Don't say ABBA. Is it ABBA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ariel, would you have known that like out of the gate as well? Someone just started playing that, or is your brain kind of panicked?
No, that was on your hotkeys, and that's how I knew that song.
Isn't that fun to have that, like, to be able to go, okay, if when I play this, maybe I'll recognize it. I don't know what Blur 2 is. Does anyone, do you guys know what Blur 2 is? Hold on, let me push this one. Wait, where is it? Oh. Is that Blur? What's Blur 2? I don't know. That's what that's. All right. Anyway, let's. Someday, Roger, we are going to record the off the air conversation that happens in studio.
I certainly hope so.
Well, I know.
Could you warn us?
Somebody
you
was
do?
Breathing in my ears.
What was that?
Somebody was breathing in my ears while I was doing the.
That was not
like
me.
That.
I don't know. Well, keep working on it.
You sure it wasn't a secret admirer, Roger?
I don't know. It could have been. Yeah. Who knows what these earphones pick up? Something from, I mean, we're close enough to Russia, aren't we?
It's a ghost.
I
mean,
it's Maria Butina. She was in your ears.
She was in my
We have in studio with us in the Allstate Showcase studio our Freak Out Friday panel, Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, Mike Lieber, attorney and representing the Packers fan who wants to be out on the field on the Sunday.
At Lieber Law Group.
At Lieber Law Group, thank you. And also Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. And we were going to talk about one thing, and now I can't remember what it was, because Dave and Mike started talking about what it would be like to be in the Kellyanne Conway household. And, you know, to have a disagreement. And maybe, for all we know, Kellyanne Conway might actually privately agree with her husband, but because of the job or the role that she plays on television, Eric's a little doubtful that it's possible that she can commit that hard to her commitment.
Well, and keep in mind, it's not like they're a couple like, I mean, he's a Republican.
He is?
He's a conservative Republican.
Yes.
He was one of the guys behind, the impeachment drive of Bill Clinton.
Oh, I don't know any of these
things. He's just an ever-Trumper Republican.
Yeah, and he was excited on Inauguration Day. He was supportive. He was excited about his wife, and he was excited for Trump.
Sure.
And then very quickly, he realized that Donald Trump is insane. And, you know, un-American and kind of in the pocket of Russia, and, you know, just an all-around not good guy.
Can
yes,
I ask
Roger?
A real quick question, though?
Of course, please.
Now that you bring this up, I wish I would have been privy beforehand, but that's okay.
I didn't know either.
So somebody I have not seen in the news for the last several weeks, Kellyanne Conway. Have I been missing some broadcasts? Yeah. I don't have cable at home, so I don't get Fox or CNN or anything like that. But I do follow on Twitter, and I've got CNN, I've got Fox, I've got MSNBC, I've got all the cable stations. I really haven't seen, as before, I have not seen lately, Kellyanne Conway coming out and restating the president's position or addressing certain concerns or whatever.
Apparently you missed the 40-minute interview she did with Chris Cuomo last night.
Okay.
And that was what led George Conway to respond on Twitter, basically impliedly slamming his wife.
He
fact-checked his wife.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, no, it was bad.
Okay, how do you stay with somebody after that?
I mean, because Kellyanne's going on TV and just lying.
And,
I mean,
and the husband is calling the president a liar on Twitter.
Exactly. And the husband is essentially saying, honey, how could you not recognize that your boss is a liar? It's just really...
Well, there are a few famous couples like this. There's James Carville and Mary Madeline.
Yeah, but not like this.
But with those two, I feel that they could have a debate, go back and forth, and fight the issues and things like that. This is completely different.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, no, yeah. This
Who
is...
gets divorced first? These two?
Or the
Trump and Melania?
Right. Right.
Oh, I think I would... Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it, like I mentioned when you talked about the Inauguration Day, maybe it's the paychecks are worth it. I don't know. Does it that play into it at all?
I have a feeling that there's some people in the Trump administration who are there for the paycheck because he couldn't get other people.
Well, he can't get people as it is. I mean, this whole search for a chief of staff has been embarrassing.
Well, that was what was interesting. I read that, was it Ivanka and Jared who would hope that they would have Pence's chief of staff become president's chief of staff? And he was like, I'm going to go home.
Well,
not even going to stay with the VP anymore.
But they had literally been talking about Nick Ayers, Pence's chief of staff, becoming Trump's chief of staff for weeks, like 6-7 weeks they were talking about it. And when Trump finally pulled the trigger and fired Kelly, Nick Ayers, the chief of staff to Pence, was like, yeah, no, I'm not so into it.
The
yeah.
Bachelorette, he was given the rose and yeah, he just said, turned no, it thanks. Down.
Yeah, yeah, everyone's backing out of it.
Yeah, but he can go then and kind of remove himself from some of this, be on the outside, and head up the political apparatus and actually make money there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I mean, you gotta think about it from a political operative standpoint. You know, Elk and I have been political operatives, and
dun, dun, dun.
You know, this is a 36-year-old young man who was about to be given the job of a lifetime, and he said, "Nah." I mean, that's
so what
just,
does that say? What does that
it
say?
It says that Donald Trump is toxic and nobody wants to be around when Mueller's investigators start going after the chiefs of staff.
Mm-hmm. So, but think about it. A lot of folks take things, right, either for power or for money.
Right.
And
or power leading to money.
And Ayers has, you know, it's been reported he's made, you know, a lot of money, you know, whatever, $50 million or something like that. Yeah. And so...
that's a lot of money.
Well, that's what I made as a political operative.
So you, if you go back to running that apparatus, the political apparatus,
right,
and controlling a lot of that, you stand to continue to make even more money. I would take that because you have the ability to continue to build for your family's future, and you're not in the... in the mess. You're not,
right.
You're not setting yourself
I like
up.
How you edited. That was yeah. some good the editing mess. On the fly. Yes. I appreciate yes. that, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, even the guy who did take the job, Nick Mulvaney, who was the, I forgot, secretary.
OMB.
OMB, OMB right. He was head of the Office of Management and Budget.
Oh, and I know someone who is the chief legal counsel for that. I'm sorry, continue.
And then,
I see him every Christmas.
And then he went and destroyed the Consumer Financial
CFPB.
Protection. Right. The Consumer yeah. Financial Protection Bureau in his spare time, because, you know, it's real easy for those guys to destroy things that defend consumers in your spare time. And but he agreed to become acting chief of staff only on the condition that Trump puts acting in the title so that he can back out at any moment.
Oh, I got to back out of this. More in a moment on 720 WGN. My husband's like, don't say who you know. You're listening to my marriage breaking down. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or text us to that number. You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez.
The Bears are 9-4, assured of a winning season and closing in on the postseason.
This is a very tricky game. I've been on teams like this. Oh, get a little full of yourself. The Packers, they're playing house money. Hey, you think they're scared of us? They're not. They think they can beat us again.
And they're going to be playing loosey-goosey, Dan. You know, they still maybe have an outside shot maybe to get in. Watch that ball. That ball's going to be flying all over Soldier Field.
A huge game as the Bears can clinch the NFC North with a win.
If it's a magical year, let it keep going. Let it keep happening and let us win.
The best Bears postgame show is Hamp and OP with Kaz. Sunday at 3 right after Bears Packers on 720 WGN. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Once upon a time, there was a sleeping beauty waiting for her prince to wake her up with a kiss. But the castle furnace went out, and Sleeping Beauty was shivering.
I can't stay sleeping. It's way too cold in this castle.
Hi, I'm Dick Hochschild, owner of American Weathermakers. We're the 60-Minute Men, always ready to come to your rescue 24/7. And we never charge for travel or overtime. If your furnace breaks down, day or night, we'll be there in 60 minutes, or you get a free $60 gift card for repairs. We fix it right and offer a lifetime warranty on our repairs. Call us for details.
The moral of the story? Schedule your American Weathermakers furnace tune-up now. And like Sleeping Beauty, you could be sleeping comfortably and happily ever after.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
Call toll-free.
855-955.
Or visit AmericanWeatherMakers.com.
We're out to holidays you.
Service to a
green tea.
Hi, this is Tonya Khoury of Green Tea Services. With family and friends over for the holidays, you want your floors as clean as they can be. So we have a gift that will even make Santa jealous. Green Tea Services will come to your home before the holidays and give your carpets, tile, and hardwood floors a clean they've never seen for 50% off. Our gift to you, we'll pay 50% of your green tea carpet, tile, and hardwood floor cleaning. Call our Green Tea Cruise with the green letter T on top of our trucks.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
For details, call Green Tea Services now and get your carpet, tile, and hardwood floors deep cleaned before the holidays for 50% off. Our gift to you. And don't forget our 100% satisfaction green tea guarantee. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green tea.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com.
This week on Chicago's Best, it's the best of the best from tacos to burgers to the most drool-worthy. Tune in to see who won Chicago's Best of 2018, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Jackie gonna be a football star. Diane's debutante backseat of Jackie's car.
I know this one. I know this. It's really, it is really kind of sad. And there are people who don't believe. I mean, I do get excited, but I'm like, oh, John Mellencamp, no longer Cougar.
Wow.
Flip Jack and Diane.
Yeah. Good job.
Well, I dated a boy in college who would sing this, but he would say, Jack's, you know, Tom's going to be is going to be a doctor and Patty's going to be a lawyer. He would change the word. This corny. Okay. Anyway, you didn't need to know any of that.
Oh, great, great song. Yes. And there's a great line in that song.
Which one?
Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Deep stuff from John Cougar Mellencamp.
My eyes got sad.
Yeah, yeah. You're bringing us down, man. Yeah. I'm only 19 minutes into my birthday, and I want to kill myself.
Happy birthday!
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Happy birthday. Were you hoping for any resolution on Brexit on your birthday?
No.
No, okay. Just saying. Eric has an article about how is it farmers or is it the Midwest has a stake in the turnout of Brexit? I mean, I think the world has a stake in this.
Sure. No, I think it's more just the Tribune had an editorial talking about how the Midwest potentially stands to lose, especially with on trade deals and things like that. But I think, you know, to your point, I think everyone stands to lose out. I mean, if this breaks bad, the one person or the one country that I think really wins in all of this is Putin.
Of course.
Oh, dear.
That's why he did it in the first place.
And the European countries in disarray is going to be a huge thing for Russia.
Well, can I tell you what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
I can tell you what's going to happen. And everybody knows what's going to happen. And for some reason that, you know, we got to go through these machinations before we get there. There's going to be another vote.
Yes.
There's going to be another vote. And they're going to vote against Brexit. And then the whole thing's going to turn out to be like the scene from Dallas when Bobby wakes up in the shower.
Yeah. I think Theresa May even said that the other day.
The whole thing.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, exactly. It's like the last scene in Newhart, you know. Oh, my God, Emily, I just had this weird dream. I was in this inn in New Hampshire. And yeah, that's what Brexit's going to be.
The prime minister survived the vote of no confidence this week. I mean, it is really this whole ideal of the nationalism and everything else starting to tear apart at the very core of their country. And it, you know, when you think about how it would impact, especially because of Northern Ireland and Northern Ireland, in traveling in between the countries.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because they've just started getting along. Like, it's thawed like in the last 10 years.
Right.
When I was in Dublin, like, folks were excited to go to Belfast, and they were like, "Yeah, we, you know, they've got this great Titanic, you know, sort of destination." And but that wasn't that way 10 years ago.
But on the plus side, that'll mean like 20 new good U2 songs. that's a tough reference.
You've been waiting all day. You waiting all day for that.
Yeah.
We'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, you know, look, when we vote on referendums, I feel like a lot of people don't even necessarily read, you know, what we're voting on.
Well, the whole thing
was a
sham.
Way it's worded, or yeah,
Brexit was a sham. And the people who promoted Brexit, who were Donald Trump's allies, they lied about it. And Putin was doing the same kind of social media nonsense in support of Brexit that he did in this country with the 2016 elections. Mm-hmm. I mean, Putin is the scary emperor behind the whole thing that's, you know, messing with everybody.
And now we have Russian spies taking plea deals.
And now we have Russian spies taking plea deals. Although, you know, I've been listening to actual Russian spies, you know, former Russian spies. Former Russian spies who were one guy who was a KGB agent for many years, and he defected to the West. And he was saying, look, this woman was remarkable because she clearly did not have the training that a normal Russian agent would have.
Butina, by the way, we're talking about
Maria Butina, who just today pled guilty and is going to be cooperating with prosecutors. God knows where she's going to go. But I mean, basically, one woman in a little bit of money infiltrated the entire senior Republican establishment.
Yeah.
This neocon, NRA, Tom Nichols, who's a professor at the Naval War College and a conservative Republican, was just mortified, you know, because in the 70s and 80s, the Russians would try to come after the left. They would try to infiltrate the unions. They would try to infiltrate the far left organizations. Now, he said, it was so easy for this one woman to get so far.
So far that she was in an audience where the president called her, and Steve Bannon said that it was before he worked with the campaign, and he thought it was strange that not only did he call on her, but seemed to have a prepared answer for the question she was going to have.
Right.
The what?
Yeah, no, it's and she was just some. I mean, she was basically a rookie agent who got really lucky and was really good. And now she's really, you know, corrupt or really guilty.
It didn't work like that in Red Sparrow.
Is that the one with Scarlett Johansson? Which one's Red Sparrow?
Or is that the one with, who was Red Sparrow?
It was just out earlier this year.
I think it was Scarlett. Wasn't it
looked so dumb, that movie. I wouldn't see it. I'm sorry. It was like, it just was bad. The accents were bad and the trailer was bad. Goodness. And the whole thing was just awful.
Completely.
Yeah. Did you see the movie?
Of course.
You know what we need to do? We still need to have a movie night. Where
we do.
On Fridays that we can. You know, we do movies that somebody hasn't seen. Obviously, we have to do Star Wars for Ken.
Yeah.
And what's up? Maybe we'll talk a little bit later, because we're going to play What's That From? And after the 11:30 news, you'll have a chance to win a gift card from Apt Electronics. We will take a classic movie scene and warp it so that you can never watch it again the same way. You'll still love it. I think you'll still love it. But we'll do that after the 11:30. Before we break for the news, the plea that Cohen made, or not the plea, he got sentenced to what, 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
Yeah, which was pretty close to what Mueller had suggested or the prosecutors had recommended.
Yeah, well, there was that whole thing where the Southern District of New York basically said, yeah, you didn't cooperate enough, and you should be given a lot of jail time. And Mueller said, he was very helpful. And we kind of like him. And so it was kind of a tale of two prosecutors. but Cohn has come out and is clearly telegraphing that he's got a lot more to say. And as soon, and Lanny Davis, his lawyer, now spokesman, came out and said this. And as soon as Mueller, you know, moves forward, he's going to come out and basically spill all his guts out. And it seems to me that the thing that the president is really guilty of, a felony that they're talking about this week, what Cohn's talking about with the campaign finance violations, it's like an aperitif. It's your little appetizer. Mm-hmm. You had like a little wafer, and it's the appetizer that's preceding what's going to be coming very soon.
Right. This is frankly not that much different from what got Bill Clinton in trouble. He lied about sex, and you know, this was a cover up about sex. So standing alone, should it be impeachable? Probably not. But if you're right, if it's just the aperitif, the amuse-bouche.
The amuse-bouche, yes.
I guess we've got something good in store.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. And I personally think that, you know, when you look at some of what the Trump Organization did in countries around the world and deals around the world, I think that before too long, that organization is going to be disemboweled and revealed to have violated the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act all over the place. You already have the New York Attorney General, the new Attorney General, saying she's going after the Trump Organization. They're going after the Trump Foundation. This was not a straight shooting guy. So it's all coming out.
Before we go to the break, I want to talk about a couple texts briefly. I don't want them to feel left out because they have joined the conversation from the 870. Remember, the top search on Google the day after the first Brexit vote in England was, what is Brexit? And I just Googled it, and the other search was, what is EU?
Yeah.
So just to keep that in mind.
And that should make us as Americans, who are generally pretty darn ignorant, feel pretty good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We are not alone.
Yeah, that's a little bit, I forgot about that. Also, another listener from the 815 has a question in regards to Ireland. I'm listening and you guys are talking about Brexit and you mentioned Northern Ireland and Ireland getting along so well now. I've been to Ireland a couple dozen times with my family and I can tell you they've always gotten along. I wouldn't necessarily say that. But they're saying it's all based on money. Why do you think things will go bad specifically if Brexit passes? Do you guys, Dave?
I've just heard that there are going to be some significant problems because you now have the unification, and there are going to be some problems in terms of if you're one's in the EU and the other's not in the EU.
Correct.
And
right.
How that's going to play itself out.
Like trading things back and forth?
Trading, or even crossing back and forth.
Right.
I mean, that's where it's going to get a little dicey.
Changes
I think.
That. And I will say, I was just in Dublin over the summer, and we had this wonderful gentleman who was helping us through the airport with our wheelchair, and he was telling me about how much more frequently, how much he did mention a thaw over the course of the last decade or last 20 years that there has been. So to me, that meant that it wasn't quite as congenial as maybe our friend from the 815 has a different experience.
But. I mean, you had the British Army in control of Northern Ireland. So.
Right. So it seems like it would be a little bit tense. More in a moment on 720 WGN. I know the song. I don't know the band. Is it the Ramones singing My Sharona?
No.
Oh. Gosh. You have to be so dismissive.
No.
It is My Sharona.
It's The Knack.
Right, The Knack.
Yeah.
Hated this song.
Ugh. Love this song.
I love this song. What? All right. Where do you stand, Eric?
It was okay.
All right, then.
It was all right.
Ariel, what do you think of the song?
It's the first time I'm hearing it.
Oh, my God.
See, Roger, you a fan of the...
I'm a fan of My Sharona, yes.
My Sharona?
It's a big marching band song.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Marching band?
College bands, right. College and high school marching bands, yeah.
I want to see what the trombone does to that song.
Now, who can remember the... Weird Al Yankovic version of this.
Oh.
My Bologna. Yeah. My Bologna.
That would have been a more fun song to listen to right now. Yeah.
You do hear Play It For Me. Let's see. I did not know that there was a... I love Weird Al. Oh, it sounds like there's a wind blowing.
Yeah.
With a little
is
weird,
it a lead-in?
I don't know. Is that... become Bologna from Bologna. Does anybody? I have a friend whose name is Tony, and he says
it was a stretch.
Yeah, it was. I have no idea.
A couple of years ago, in the summer, my wife and I were in Italy without kids, which was great. And we had Waze, the driving app on, and we were driving past the town Bologna, and Waze said, turn left on such and such to Bologna, which I just thought was so funny.
That's very funny.
Oh, man.
Do you know what time it is, Patty?
It's time for What's That From? 312-981-7200. We will take a scene or two from a classic movie and make it so that you can never watch it the same way again. You'll still love it. You'll just won't be able to see it without thinking of us.
You'll love it in a different way.
It's
totally different way.
Our artistic interpretation of it. 312-981-7200. And if we take one of the winners, don't hang up because there'll be some follow-up questions. At least one. Maybe everyone else has a trivia question for you. I know I have at least one trivia question about this movie. 312-981-7200. Take it away, Roger.
Well, we're going to start with... middle of the page.
Thank you.
And that would be me?
I think so.
All right. Here we go. So, George went to a dance.
And at that dance, he fell in the pool with Mary Hatch. Later, he was walking her home.
They were feeling pretty good, Clarence. As a matter of fact,
wonderful.
Exterior Sycamore Sidewalk, Granville House, nighttime. George and Mary walk on the sidewalk.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon.
Hot dog, eh, Mary?
We sound beautiful, George.
Hey, you know something, Mary? I'd almost say you are the prettiest girl in town. You look wonderful.
Well, why don't you say it?
I don't know. Maybe I will. Hey, how old are you anyway?
18.
18? It seems only last year you were just 17. Hey, look where we are.
George and Mary stop walking.
Ah, the old Granville House.
Yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, George. Even though it's deserted, I love this old place.
Ha! With deserted houses, you make a wish and then try to bust a window.
But it's such a lovely old house. I want to live there someday.
In there? I wouldn't live there if I were a ghost. Now watch. How about that, huh? Pretty good shot. Broke the window.
What'd you wish for, George?
Wish? Oh, I don't know. Not just one wish, Mary. A whole hatful of them. You see, I'm leaving this crubbing little town. I want to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon. And that's just this summer. And then I'm coming back and going to college to see what they know, of course.
Of course.
And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields and bridges a mile long. And then I'm going to... come on, Mary. What is it you want? Do you want the moon? All you got to do is just say the word and I'll...
Okay, the moon. I'll take it. Then what?
Then what? Well, then you swallow it. And it dissolves and moonbeams shoot out your fingers and then... do you think I'm talking too much?
Yes. Why don't you kiss her instead of talking to her to death?
How's that?
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
You want me to kiss her, huh?
Aw, youth is wasted on the wrong people.
As he speaks, the man leaves the porch and goes into his house, slamming the front door.
Hey, hold on there. Hey, mister, come back out here. I'll show you some kissing that'll put hair back on your head.
Mary,
what are you?
Mary runs off scene. George has been once more standing on the belt of her bathrobe, so as she goes, her robe comes off. George drops his bundle of clothes and picks up Mary's robe. He can't see her anywhere.
Okay, I give up. Where are you?
We see Mary's face peering out from the leaves.
Over here, in the hydrangea bushes.
George walks towards the bush.
Here you are, catch!
He's about to throw her robe, and a thought strikes him.
Wait a minute. What am I doing? This is a very interesting situation.
Please, give me my robe.
A man doesn't get in a situation like this every day.
I'd like to have my robe.
Not in Bedford Falls, anyway.
Mary thrashes around in the bushes.
Ouch.
Gesundheit. That requires a little thought here.
George Bailey, give me my robe.
I've heard about things like this, but I've never...
Shame on you. I'm going to tell your mother on you.
Oh, my mother's way up the corner there.
I'd call the police.
Oh, they're way downtown. They'd be on my side, too.
I'm going to scream.
Maybe I could sell tickets. Let's see. No, the point is, in order to get this robe, I've got it. I'll make a deal with you, Mary.
Yay!
All right, we've got listeners on the line, and our first one is the first winner, right? Let's go to Eddie. There's Eddie and Ed. Ed, hold on the line. I'm going to get to you as well. Ed, what's that from?
What?
Eddie.
It's a Wonderful Life.
There you go. Yay! Congratulations.
All right.
You've won a $50 gift card. Huh?
I thought I was watching the movie. You guys did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
You're a terrific liar.
Roger and I were very sweet.
It was the singing.
Yeah. It was this, oh, yeah, there you go. Buffalo Gal. Come on. Roger and I were unable to join in the holiday party this morning because of our schedules, and so I thought we would have fun. And thank you, Roger, for pulling this
My
one.
My pleasure.
And Eddie, you've won a gift card from Apt Electronics. Make sure you say hi to our good friend Steve Shapiro when you stop by out there, or you can go online at abt.com. They've been pleasing people since 1936. Happy holidays, Eddie.
Well, happy holidays to you, to everyone in the studio, though. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hold on the line, and Ariel will get your information. And I'm going to take my time on the next one because I have a little bit of trivia that I want to ask. I think I'll ask our next winner. Hey, Ed.
Hello, everyone.
Hi. Let me ask you a question. I'm sure that you know the answer to this, but this is my favorite things. Every time George Bailey would go into the ice cream shop, he would pull in the pharmacy, he would pull something, right? And he would say, and he would make a wish. I wish I had $1 million. And what would he say when the flame popped up?
That I can't tell you.
I wish I had $1 million. All right, I'm going to ask you another question. I'm not going to leave you hanging, Ed. Do you know which one of the little rascals is actually at the dance? Do you remember which rascal?
If I remember correctly, it was Alfalfa.
Yay!
Yes.
Nice.
Alfalfa is in the dancing. He's the one that does what? Well, I'm not going to. You know what? I'll get to put you on the line in case we get other listeners because I've got more prizes to give away. Ed has won a gift card for Lou Malnati's. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com.
By the way, we have a texter who answered your first question.
Oh, I can't give away. I'm so sorry if the texter can call us. It's one of my favorite things. I do it. So the Up Down Tobacco has one of those lighters where you pull it and it doesn't always light, but because you kind of have to pull it slowly, and so that was how he would make his wish. So let's see if Glenn knows. Hey, Glenn, what would George Bailey say when he would make his wish upon the cigar lighter? I wish I had $1 million. What does he say when it lights?
I don't know.
All right.
Can I give a hint?
I have a...
No, you can't give a hint because maybe the texter will call in. All right, Glenn, how about this one? So did you know that was Alfalfa in the dance scene? He was one of the little rascals who's at the dance?
Oh, yeah, I did.
So what does he do at the dance that leads Mary to have to wear the robe?
I think he butts her into the pool.
No, I was going to say what he did, but I can't because in case somebody else has it. Let me see if I have it.
I think it's Jitterbug, but...
All right, one more question. I have prizes because I haven't been able to get prizes away this week. So, how does George lose his hearing in one ear?
He saves his brother. He jumps in the water. He saves his brother from drowning.
Excellent. Congratulations and happy holidays. You've won a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Hold on the line. I'm making Ariel very busy tonight.
And the texter called in.
Called. Oh, which one is it?
That would be Myra.
Myra! Hey, Myra, have you won something recently? I want to make sure. I don't think you have. Have you?
No, I have not.
Hey, Myra. Okay, so the question was, which one are we on? Oh, what does he say after he makes a wish? I wish I had $1 million, and makes his wish on the cigar lighter.
Hot dog.
Hot dog! It's one of my favorite things.
Nice.
Hot dog. I think I just say that for fun sometimes. All right, Myra, you've won a gift card to Lou Malnati's, one of Chicago's best deep dish, the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizzas. Do you say that? Do you ever say that when you make a wish and something comes true and you say hot dog, Myra?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Hold on the line and Ariel will get your information for a Lou Malnati's gift card. I love It's a Wonderful Life. We were talking earlier and Mike has said he hasn't seen it all the way through.
Yeah.
Because they play it so much on Christmas.
I know. And I gotta watch it.
You gotta watch the whole thing.
It's a great movie.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Mary!
Why didn't you do that before? You didn't want to
do it. Well, because it wasn't in the scene. This was young George Bailey, not old George Bailey.
I can't believe the one guy said that it sounded just like the movie, man.
He was being very kind. The holiday season. More
I
after
want
this.
What he's having.
Coming up after this, tell me something good. What's making you happy? What makes you smile? No matter what happens throughout the day, there's got to be something that you're grateful for. Tell us what that is. 312-981-7200. You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Okay, interesting conversation about this comedian Paul Farvar Esquire, who's also a host here at WGN Radio, he was the one that was first completely devastated by my lack of musical knowledge. We were at a restaurant just this week, and this song played, and he just stopped and he goes, this is my favorite song ever. And I go, oh, is this Gabriel Byrne?
And
my husband goes,
the song was just playing?
Yeah, hold on a second, yes. And that, what I meant to say was Peter Gabriel, which apparently is also...
Which was also very wrong.
Incorrect. And like the pain in his face, I felt as though he might never be able to speak to me again. And I shall never forget now that it is Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie. So yes. It is blazing into my mind by the sheer... just he could not handle it. He could not consume the information coming from my face.
I feel for Paul.
Well,
and it is it's top 10 all time.
So. Oh, right. So good.
Yeah. It is so good. It's very good.
Never, ever, ever try to sing that song at karaoke. I tried one time.
Oh gosh. Oh,
because no. Because
it's a lot of pressure.
I mean, those two guys, Freddie Mercury, and like you cannot. It's a disaster. Don't ever do it.
Yeah. All right. I will not do it. So my something good tonight is that it's Dave Lundy's birthday. Happy birthday to you, Dave.
Thank you, Patty.
That's wonderful. I'm excited to have you taking another tour around the planet. Well, riding the planet for another tour around the sun.
Absolutely. And my something good was I am so excited we did It's a Wonderful Life. That was so much fun.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad. Roger and I were talking about it because the station had done it this morning. And I thought, well, because we didn't get to be here, let's do it tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I love playing George Bailey. That was awesome.
That was great. Thank you, Roger.
You're very welcome.
That was wonderful. Mike, do you want to tell me something good?
Yeah. Can I give you two? First of all, speaking of birthdays, it's my 15-year-old twins, Evan and Sarah's golden birthday. Less than an hour ago.
For those not familiar, it's when you turn the age of the date, right?
You turn the age of the date of the day of the month that you were born. So they're 15 on the 15th. Yes, yes. It's a golden birthday. Mm. And also, I took a meaningless, very cheap flight last week to Singapore and back to get over the hump.
You guys thought I was crazy about London?
Yeah. I know.
This dude went to Singapore in coach.
17 hours and 1 minute and 26 seconds from San Francisco nonstop.
And he took his kid with him.
My 11-year-old son, who we had a great time. And
did you watch movies or what'd you do?
Well, I got about 10 hours of work done on that flight. Okay. He watched some movies, slept some. We had an empty middle seat in coach, which
that helps
much better.
Yeah.
But on the way back, thanks to that, I am now I've now flown a million miles on, I won't say which airline.
Sure.
But on my preferred airline maybe based here in Chicago. So
what?
I am now a million mile flyer.
I am also not a million. I'm just, I don't even think I have any status anymore because I haven't been able to travel this year. But you also went to London last week.
Yeah, I went to London last week and I had an awesome time. It was a nonstop flight.
And you did it for the miles.
I did it for the miles. Actually, I did it for the miles and it was inspired by Mr. Lieber here who had done it last year. And so I went to London for the day, and I got to tell you, as much as I love my wife and I love my kids, being in London alone and being able to go to the Churchill Museum and spend as much time as I want reading every single, solitary card. Was just awesome. I just loved it.
That's
I had a blast.
Fantastic. I love that. Eric, tell me something good.
I am looking forward to get to spend some time this weekend with my dad and our little niece, our nephews, tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. You'll have a great time. Roger, tell me something good.
Just having a great time in life and finally got back on track with bowling last night.
Yay!
Had a 195 average for the night.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Wow. And... of course, wrenched my back and almost ripped my knee apart. But
you're
I'm
not
fine.
Getting the whole idea of telling something good. You went the other way.
But I survived. I survived.
So, Ariel, one of my other something good is it's been very fun to work with you tonight. What's your tell me something good?
Thank you. That's so sweet you say. This is my second time doing this in my life, and I feel really good.
You did great.
Thank you.
Excellent. We're going to take a quick break here. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Battish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And we're going to catch up with Hannah Stanley. And it's wonderful to look at it. Jazz hands. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Hannah Stanley is in studio taking over the station.
Is that what I'm doing now?
Yes, it's in your hands now.
For 4 hours.
Are you broadcasting in here?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Okay, cool.
I know. Our lovely Aubrey told me that he had both studios set up for me, and it was my choosing. And so what I'm thinking is that every hour we'll flip back and forth and see if the listeners know the difference.
Can I tell you a secret about the other studio?
Yeah. Is it haunted?
No, the counter is cracked on the other.
Brand new.
I don't know what to tell you.
I think we could call Lou and talk to some people.
Oh, that should be his first call. Can we call him now? Can we call him?
I would think not.
No, don't call him now.
No, we don't call people late at night.
No, we don't.
We do not.
How are you doing, Hannah? What's coming up?
I am good. I am. I've not napped, so I invite everybody to help me stay awake because I have so many good things to talk about.
Excellent.
Did you hear about the chocolate highway?
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, no.
There's a highway made of chocolate.
Not really intentionally.
Is it two chocolate?
A whole bunch of chocolate in Germany that melted and ran into a highway, and I just think that is such a waste of chocolate.
It's a tragedy. I shouldn't be laughing.
It's horrifying.
That is tragic,
especially German chocolate. I mean, it's not Swiss, but you know, it's so close.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
All right. So some Swiss chocolate.
We've got that. We have a homeless character on Sesame Street.
Yes.
We have $100,000 being paid to a person to give up their smartphone for a year, and I want to be first in that line.
Oh, I can't decide. Yes, I'll take that $100,000.
No,
yes.
That is the line you want to be
that's,
in.
That's college tuition for Griffin. You're right.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Oh, okay.
It's $100,000.
Yes, all of those things.
Yes, so we have so many, many, many things to talk about. Some serious, some not. But stay awake with me.
Please stay awake with Aunt Hannah Stanley.
Yes.
I mean, you can doze off, but still be with her. You can sleep to her, sleep with her. I mean, sleep while she's on. I didn't mean the other. Sleep while she's on the air.
Well, you know, if you do drift, then we have podcasts.
You'll be here. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because I can't tell you. I mean, the news is important, and Roger will be with me.
And do not drift if you are driving. So definitely be with Hannah.
And if they do drift, I'll scream in their ear.
Oh, and Jess and I drove in together. Lots of patchy fog in the western suburbs.
Uh-oh, be careful.
So be really cautious.
And don't turn your brights on. All that does is reflect it back at you.
We know. Roger and I were talking about this last time.
Yep. That's right.
It's
those brights. Ooh, don't get me started.
I used to have fog lights on my Volkswagen. They're yellow.
So yeah.
Did they make a crazy sound like "Ooga" when you turn them on?
No, I didn't know.
No,
that was
that's
an
what you do.
Ooga.
I open my window. I yell out the window.
Ooga. All right, let's turn this over. Jess producing tonight. Hey, Jess. Good to see you. Hello, hello. All right, it's time to go. You've got to listen to the Steve Cochran Show weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.